Well, as Mark said, he likes to give me all the easy subjects. So the second coming is what we're going to focus on. I was thinking when I was preparing this, as a sort of church or, in a sense, movement, I guess we're part of what people would call evangelical or charismatic church. I think I've mentioned before when Sue and I were about to get married, I had to fill some forms in about where I lived, and I put down Carmel Pentecostal Church. And of course, I'd been away for a number of years and you'd changed your name. At that stage, you were Carmel Community Church. And Mark said, I don't think legally you can get married. You'll have to change what you've put down. If you actually drive down this street, I think the sign's still up that says Carmel Pentecostal Church. So it, by definition, in a sense, we're Pentecostal, certainly in experience. But to a degree, we don't really have a set of beliefs. None of us stand up at the start of a meeting and say, this is what we believe. We might sing it in one or two songs, but we sort of don't have, like the Anglicans sort of often have a creed. Well, you may have heard of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. I believe in his Son Jesus, etc., etc. And the Anglican Church has some very little nice sayings in some of the things they do. Now, they don't get everything right, but we don't do it, to be fair. But they have quite a little short saying, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. It's good, isn't it? Usually they say it connected with communion, either during communion or afterwards. It's found in the Book of Common Prayer. We remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And some of you may know or may not know, it might be news to you this, I seem to be echoing a bit here. So you get a double bonus, that's what that is, I think. We belong to an affiliation called Assemblies of God. We belong, as a church, we belong to Assemblies of God in Great Britain. So I thought, well, hang on a minute, what do they believe? When I was doing my training to be a minister of Assemblies of God, I had to write down essays on what they then called the 12 fundamentals of ALG, a set of beliefs. So I thought, oh, I know what to do this day and age. Just go to the website and look it up. And it's gone a bit hazy. I can't see if they believe 12 stuffs or not. But if you want to put slide one up for me, Keith, please. This is what ALG say. We believe in his personal, visible, bodily returning power and glory as the blessed hope of all believers. It's not bad, is it? That thing on the left is a book I bought. I often buy my book, well, nearly all my books I buy secondhand because I'm mean and I don't like to pay full price. This is one of the guys who taught me at Bible College, Stephen Travis, was my lecturer in New Testament. And I thought, oh, he'll know what he's on about. So I saw this book and I saw another book, Christ Will Come Again by Stephen Travis. I thought, great, I'll get some real insight. What did I know? This is the same book as that. So if anybody wants a book on the second coming, there you go, because I've already got one. Just shows you how daft I am. I didn't know until I bought it. So we're going to look at the second coming. I think one of the strengths of this church, at least I think so, we're a Bible-based church. We try and put what we believe based on Scripture. I've said before, and it's probably worth repeating, sometimes there are things in the Bible we can fall out about and have a difference of opinion. And some things I think we shouldn't fall about. They are central to what we believe in. It's interesting, Mark said, I think 2 weeks ago when we were doing communion, he mentioned the little phrase at the end. Often when we're talking about communion, we're in 1 Corinthians 11. Paul says, I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The same night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. In the same manner, likewise, he took the cup, saying, drink of it, this is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you proclaim the Lord's death, what? Until he comes. Communion's actually talking about his second coming. It's past, present and future. His death, as often as you do it, and until he comes. So even communion is connected with Jesus coming. It actually is central to what we believe. Now hold on to your seats, because where's Mark? He's at the back, he can't reach me. I'm going to say something controversial. So he's got, if the tape's on, he's going to wipe it. Did you know you're not fully saved? So I've got very quiet, haven't it? What do I mean? What am I saying? Bible's quite clear. Scripture says we're saved, and being saved, we won't be fully saved till what? This thing you're looking at, as handsome as it is, isn't finished, is it? Our bodies have not been redeemed. We'll be saved fully when our bodies become new things. Yes? Gone very quiet. Might be a disagreement there. Better move on. Slide two. One of the classic verses about the second coming. This is Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. I've been to Thessalonica. Ian and I went. Brothers and sisters, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18 for those listening on audio. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. There's a fantastic verse to preach on, isn't it? If we don't believe in the resurrection and in our bodies being changed, we might as well be like they are. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. In other words, brackets, died. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Paul's quite plain. He's saying Christ is going to come. Those that have died in him, what we'd call, if you like, the saints, will be resurrected. Our hope is that we'll be resurrected and our bodies will be changed into glorious bodies. Paul has lots of writing about it. If you want to read the classic passage on it, it's in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, doesn't he, Paul, this mortal shall put on immortality. He mentions this thing we call flesh being like a tent. It's only housing the real us. We'll be changed. He says in Corinthians, in the twinkling of an eye. I looked that up, I thought I'd give it, but it's too complicated. It's about 0.4 seconds to blink your eye. Just like that, in the twinkling of an eye, will be changed. Jesus himself spoke about this. If you want to put the next slide up, please, slide three. This is John 14. This will be a passage familiar to many of you, John 14, 1 to 4. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. I think I've put on the left on the slides. I think I came here around about 50 years ago. I came to Carmel. I know I only look 20, but what can I tell you? I had a rough life. The AV was what I first started reading. And in the AV it says, many mansions. Many of us were sort of taken by that. I've got a mansion waiting for me. Jesus said he's going to prepare a place for us. He's going to come back and take us. This image, remembering Jesus is a Jew. It's a Jewish idiom, phrase, really talking about marriage. For the Jew, what happened was the bride-to-be would be betrothed and her husband would go away to prepare a place for her, either in his father's house, it'd just be a room, or he'd build an extension, then he'd come back to get his bride and take her. That's the illustration. Not a bad illustration. Bible says, we the church are the bride of Christ. We're waiting for the groom to come back and take us when he's prepared a place. That's the imagery. So Jesus is quite clear, he's coming back. It's called the second coming because we read in the Bible the first time he came. It's one of my favourite scriptures, Gospel of John, John 1:14. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We beheld his grace, we beheld him full of grace and truth. Jesus, literally, we'll get the idea, tabernacled. He lived amongst us. Going to be very different. In a sense, when he came first time round, he wasn't that recognised. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The Jews are still waiting for the Messiah. They don't recognise Jesus as the Messiah. Well, the Orthodox, a traditional Jew, if you like. So, Paul talks about it. Jesus speaks about it. In fact, if you look at the New Testament, I've looked at different authors and writers. They reckon nearly every book in the New Testament talks about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Not bad, is it? Probably about between 250 and 300 references about it in the New Testament alone. Wow, Mike says. Yeah. Even, you'll find in the Old Testament, slide 4, some of you will know this verse, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. The idea, if you like, of this battle between good and evil. Any of you into Star Wars? We've got any Star Wars fans in? Thinking, what is he going on about? Well, Star Wars depicts good and evil, black and white. If you look at how people are dressed, Darth Vader's not exactly in white, is he? He's not a goodie. There's a battle going on, isn't there? The Bible's quite clear. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And this Genesis depicts that. The serpent talking to Adam and Eve. We all hear that phrase, don't we, often? Has God said? And you think of something and you hear this, your mind tells you, hang on a minute, is that right? There's a challenge to us. It's what's going on. Maybe talk about that more. But even in the Old Testament, the promise was Jesus would come and put him in his place. I've said it before. I've read the Bible numbers of times. I've read the book of Revelation. Here's the good news. We win in the end. Hooray! That's what it says, isn't it? If you believe it, Jesus is going to come and put Satan in his place. At this moment in time, the world is under the grip of the evil one. Sometimes you look at the news and think, oh, it's a complete mess. What's going on? Derek and I had a conversation some time ago about this. Technical term, Derek, theodicy. Go and write that down. Go and look it up now. It's about the battle between good and evil. Why is evil in the world when there's a God of love? Well, because Satan has been given free role until God's going to put him in his place. Paul talks about him as the prince of the power of the air. John, I think, describes him as the evil one. Okay, slide 5. Incidentally, I've got down on my notes here. I've read a book by David Pawson, this one, When Jesus Returns. He reckons there are about 735 predictions in the Old Testament that have come true. 81% roundabout. So round about 20% left that focus on the future. The second coming. This is what I'm going to try and cover. We'll see how we do for time. What is it? When will it be? So I'll give you exactly to the minute and the second. How will it happen? Why is it happening? That's not a bad question. Why is he coming? Didn't he sort it out first time round? Why is he coming back again? Who is involved in this event? What is it? When will it be? How will it happen? Why is it happening? Who's involved in this event? If we do well, we might get through all that. If we don't do well, we might be stuck on the first one. But we'll see how we go on. Okay, so maybe for some who are new to this concept, it might be a new concept. What is it? I think I've got slide 6 here. The next one, in other words. Thank you. Okay. I've had a little bit of a Greek lesson here. There are three different Greek words used. Parousia, which means coming, arrival or presence. It was used in the olden days of when a dignitary or a king came to visit a city, people would go out to accompany him on his arrival to the city. Good picture of Jesus coming. The king's coming back again. As the song Ray sings, I often think he emphasises it when he sings it. The king is alive. The king is alive. Because according to Satan and his way of thinking, thought he'd sorted it out, didn't he? We've sorted this out. Even now he still thinks he's in charge. He only thinks he's in charge, he's not. I often get told off. I do have occasional conversations with people in church, churches plural, who say, oh, I've had a rough week this week. The devil's been really going at me. And I've said, that's good. I'm like, why's that? I said, because he can only be in one place at one time. If he's messing with you, he can't mess with me, can he? Because he's not omnipresent. And that's where people get mixed up. He's not as powerful as the one we serve. God can be everywhere at once. He's only located in one. So if the devil's having to go at someone, if he's on his own, tough luck, because he ain't having to go anywhere else, is he? Parousia, coming, arrival or presence. Apocalypsis, revelation. The book of Revelation is not covered, it's supposed to be revealed. That's what it's about. John says it's the only book in the Bible claims to be entirely prophetic. Did you know that? Revelation. John says an angel told me to write all this stuff down, and here it is. I'm going to reveal to you what it is. Jesus is coming back to reveal who he really is. First time round, people didn't quite get it. I didn't understand. Second time round, everyone's going to know. Again, some of my favourite verses. I'm going from memory here. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in very nature with God, did not consider equality something to be grasped, but took on himself the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he was humbled unto death, even death on a cross, whereby God has exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Your name is the greatest, your name is the highest. That's what we're singing, wasn't it? Which is why Scripture says there's no other name in heaven and on earth by which a man can be saved, apart from the name of Jesus. He's coming again. Epiphaneia, appearing or manifestation. I'm not sure if it's Porson who shares this illustration. It's a good one. He said he went to Windsor Castle to see the Queen. And the flag's flying to say the Queen's in residence. Didn't see her, and then all of a sudden she appeared or manifested on the balcony. She'd been in the castle all the time, but suddenly she appeared on the balcony. Jesus is going to appear and manifest himself. The Bible says every eye shall see him. Wow, what an event that's going to be. Hebrews 11:1, this is not on my notes or not on the slides, one of my favourite verses. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. On my translation, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I hope you realise, and I'm sure you know, currently we can't see God. Paul, writing to Timothy, talks about the invisible God. A day's coming when he's going to turn up and we'll see him as he really is. Wow, what a thing. We're going to see him face to face. And all those who said, oh, it's all a load of old rubbish, that's never going to happen, it's going to be there. How many of you are familiar with the word rapture? People waving their hands. It's going to happen now. No, maybe not. Did you know? I'm sure you do know. It's not a biblical word. It's a Latin word. It's the old Latin word which means to be snatched up. It translates the Greek of 1 Thessalonians 4, which means to be seized. It comes from the Latin translation of the Bible. Anybody know what that's called? Fingers on the buzzer. The Vulgate. By a guy called Jerome in 382 AD. I think, why is he telling us this? I've got in brackets here. For almost 1,650 years, we've been using a Latin term that this guy translated to talk about something that's biblical, the rapture. We've all piled into it, but actually, you won't find it anywhere in Scripture. He's translated it to mean something else. But I guess it's something we're familiar with. It's quite interesting. When I first came here, around about 1975, I think, when I got saved, just after I was 21, it was the big thing, the talk about the second coming. He's going to come like a thief in the night. Watch out. And you had to, in those days, you were sort of scared into the kingdom. If you didn't, you know, get it sorted. Jesus was arriving there and then. It's an interesting. I watched a tape as I've been researching this. I've looked at books. I've looked at YouTube. Mostly I've looked at the Bible, thank goodness. But I did see a guy preaching and he asked this question. And I had to think about it. Mark and I were talking about it the other day. Can Jesus come back today? Thinking, that's an interesting question, isn't it? Okay, slide 7. Next one. We okay? Still awake? Good. When will it be? I've got down on my notes, this is the easiest question to answer. The Bible's quite clear. Jesus said, nobody knows the day or the hour, except the Father in heaven. Why on earth people guessing at when it's going to be is beyond me. I think Jehovah's Witnesses had a good go, 1914, 1917, 1948, 1975. Give up. Then we have this new sort of thing, it's still going about a little bit. The idea that somehow or other, Jesus has come back invisibly. I obviously missed it, I didn't see it, no. I can't believe when I read the scripture how that's possible. The second coming is going to be the biggest event ever, and everyone's going to see it. How on earth it can be invisible is beyond me. So if you're going to fall out with me, that's fine, but I better state where I'm at. It's not necessarily this church, but me personally, I'm of the opinion the second coming hasn't happened yet. Jesus hasn't come back to earth physically. I don't believe it's happened invisibly. If you believe that, that's fine. It's not what I believe. Matthew 24:36, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Let me pick some up there. It just intrigued me when I read it. Did you know what he says there about the day and the hour? Who doesn't know? Who? Jesus doesn't know. Who else? The angels. I read that and thought, that's interesting, isn't it? Might be the way my mind works, but you'll have got used to put up with me by now. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider the works of your hands, the sun, the moon, the stars that you have put in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you visited him. You've made him a little lower than the angels. Ooh. Hang on a minute. Did you get that? We're lower than the angels. They don't even know, and they're above us. They've got no chance, they don't know, but we in our wisdom, we can set the date and say it's 1914, it's 19 whenever. Guys, read the scriptures. Jesus doesn't know, nobody else knows. Don't care what you listen to, what you look at, what you read, the Bible's right and the rest is wrong. Nobody knows. As Jesus, Matthew 24:3, was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, When will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? We don't know the day or the hour. What he's done is given us signs pointing towards it. Look out for these things. Watch out. These are the things to watch out for. So if you want to put the next slide up, please. A bit small, that, but signs to look out for. Disasters in the world. Matthew 24, 4-8. Incidentally, if you want to read about the second coming, I'd recommend you reading Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. Good chapters to read. Jesus talks a lot about it. Disasters in the world. These are some of the ones you'll be familiar with. Wars, earthquakes, famines. What he's saying is, they'll become more. They'll be more often. You'll see them more often. These are signs. Linda Thorpe and I talk about this often. The signs are not as important as what they point to. They're pointing to Jesus coming. That's the focal point. Some people are caught up on the signs, and you read so many books. It's this, it's that, it's the other. I'd like them to talk a little bit more about Jesus coming and less about the signs. Well, that's me personally. But he's given us, if you like, some idea. It's not tied down to a day and an hour, but it's signs, omens, portents, pointing to something. Deserters in the church. Recently, the news has been, I don't know if you've seen it, certainly church news. In Great Britain, they reckon church attendance is falling. Not as good as it was, although I seem to think I've read somewhere, I might have made this up, but I've got a feeling I've read recently, the 20 to 30 year old age range has had a renewed interest in things to do with the church. Quite interesting. See, people are looking for answers, aren't they? Looking in the wrong place sometimes. There's going to be opposition. We like the promises of Jesus, don't we? In this world, you will have trouble. Is that one you pray over a lot? Persecution he's talking about. In fact, in the day and age of the Acts of the Apostles, 2,000 years ago, there was persecution. If you read the book of Acts correctly, you'll find these three things in there. Opposition, reduction in the church number, and then expansion. Often persecution produces expansion. It's quite a paradox, really. You see what happens when trouble hits, and it's the same today, when trouble hits in our lives, the people who stand up, their faith shines through, and people say, I want what you've got. You don't seem to be moved by it. What's going on? I've shared it before, but I can only share illustrations from my own life, really. Well, I was working at Clarendon teaching REA level, and they said, we're not going to renew your contract. And I thought, oh dear, that's difficult. And the lady in charge of my teaching and the classes said, you seem to have taken it well. And I said, I'm not defined by my job. My life's bigger than that. I've got faith. We need to be defined in what we believe. And sometimes we need to stand up and say, no, my hope is bigger than this. See, our hope isn't just about here, is it? Paul says, if we only have hope in this world, we're the most miserable of all men. It's either that or you support City. No, sorry. Strike that from the record. A dictator in the Middle East is going to be a figure, a person in the Middle East who will try and bring nations together, will seem as though it's peace. Probably, again, I'm guessing this is not doctrine, this is my sort of thought. Probably someone will bring the Arab nation and the Jewish nations together in some way. Which seems totally impossible at the moment, doesn't it? But there'll be a figure that rises up that looks as though they're the answer. Christ, Jesus said, many false messiahs will come in my name. If you read carefully, if you read the Gospels carefully, Jesus said, there'll be people doing miracles saying, we did it in your name. And they'll say, get away, I never heard of you. Who are you lot? Do not be deceived. The Bible said, God is not mocked. I don't always say to people, had my son asking me the other week, how do I know if I've prayed for someone, how do I know it's right? Well, there's a question, isn't it? And I talked about what the Bible says, that peace we have about things. You've got to feel peace about a decision you've made. Here's another one for you while in passing. You can't sit at home and say, God, tell me what's happening, and until you do, I'm not going to move. You've got to do something. Then you'll know if it's right or wrong. You'll feel the peace about it. Generally speaking, certainly in my life, God either opens doors or shuts doors. You've just got to be clever enough to see what's happening. Some of us, if you like me, can be stubborn. And you get quite a way down the road and think, I got this wrong, didn't I? I better turn back and, right, God, what are you saying now? But actually, that peace is a good guide. Is it something right according to what the Bible says? Or are you doing your own thing? Sometimes we can justify what we're doing ourselves, can't we? Well, you know, I'm sure God's spoken to me. Are you? Really? Have you asked anyone else? That's a good barometer. God often tells us, darkness in the sky, Matthew 24:29-31. It's going to be such a spectacular show, all the other lights will go out and his light will shine. The sun, the moon, the stars, the planets will be shaken. It will be like lightning. Of course, it'll be invisible. No. Not going to be invisible. Okay, so far? So those are some of the signs. They're just indicators it's getting near. Peter said, according to him, we were in the last days then, when the apostles were about. All I can say is I guess we must be nearer. But also Peter's the one, don't forget, who says, those of you said, scoffers will come in the last days, saying, where is this day of the Lord you talked about? It's not happening, is it? You got it wrong, Peter. He said, don't you know, one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. I'm sure you're aware of this, but I'll underline it. His time scale is not ours. I remember being at Bible College, 1979, praying for something, saying to God, Lord, I need this to happen. I need it to happen by the end of the month. Didn't happen. So I went to one of the lecturers and said, what's going on? He said, who do you think you are giving God a timescale? I'm like, what do you mean? And it suddenly dawned on me, he was right. Who am I to tell God, you've got to do this by such a day? If a woman comes in wearing red, Lord, I'll do it. Yeah, right. You're in charge, are you? Last time I looked, he's in charge. And sometimes we think, he fits into our timescale. No, we've got to fit into his. Because often, God directs us, we look to do stuff, doesn't happen, and then he gives us something better. Had we gone down the first route, we would have missed it. His ways are not our ways. I'm doing okay, I think. How will it happen? Slide 9, or whatever the next one is. The Bible tells us it will be instantly in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15. I don't know if this is Paulson or somewhere I've got this from. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the noisiest verse in the Bible, he says. The Lord himself will descend with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God. It's going to be with fanfare. I don't know about people going camping on the hill outside Heaton Park to hear Oasis, but you're going to hear him coming. Acts 1:11, this same Jesus who went into heaven will so come back in like manner. Everyone's going to see him. He's coming back in clouds. It's a spectacular event. The sky will be blacked out for better measure, I've put. Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the darkness of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. I don't know if you're one of those people that when they give you some information, there's going to be an eclipse, so all run out to see it. It's going to be better than that. no light at all, and then a great white light and somebody coming in power and glory. He's coming with all his angels and his heavenly host. Wow, it's going to be good, isn't it? Imagine that. What will it be like? Then will appear the Son of Man, Scripture says, as lightning across the sky. He's coming with the clouds. He's coming in the clouds. Revelation says, I don't know whether we take this literally or a metaphor, simile, his hair as white as wool, blazing eyes. Probably the idea is also coming with judgment in mind. See, I better be careful because I'm going to get to my next point before I get there. With his angels and heavenly hosts, if you read Revelation carefully, it talks about angels falling from heaven and a war being waged, round about 11 or 12, I can't remember where. My understanding, it's a very simple one. Any of you good at maths? Says a third of the angels are fallen. So how many does that leave? So we've got two-thirds against a third. Two-thirds of the angels definitely are coming back with the king to rule and reign. The odds are in our favour, but in a sense it doesn't matter. We sing that song, I was almost going to ask Ray to sing it, but I thought, no, I won't. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who can stand against the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion. Lion of Judah. Judah, as you know, means praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Do you think the one who spoke the earth into being has got a problem with a third of the angels? No. Nothing is going to stand against him. And he's going to say to Satan, hey mate, your time's up. Bye-bye. Why is it happening? Slide 10. I'm okay for time, I think. Well, I've said this, to complete the saints, we are not complete without our resurrected bodies. Some of you, certainly if you're my age, ailments are coming up fast. I've got more appointments with the doctor than I have anywhere else. Got more tablets than Moses. No, don't go down that one. We're getting old and our bodies are getting old because it isn't the way God designed it. If you read about the Old Testament, they were living till 960 odd. Some of you might think I look that old, but no. Won't it be great for those of us who are struggling with physical ailments to know that your new body won't have them? What we used to sing, Michael? No more dying there, we're going to see the king. Soon, very soon. What a thing. I can't get my head around it. What it's going to be like. Ray knows it's one of the songs he sang at my wedding. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. What a thing it'll be. This mortal will put on immortality. This perishable will become imperishable. I'm never going to die again. Is it fame? I always thought of that line, I'm going to live forever. That's what the Bible teaches. Why is it happening? To complete the saints, to convert the Jews. He's coming back so those who have said he's not the Messiah are going to say, oh, hang on a minute, we've changed our mind. See, one of Peter's answers to those who said, it's been a bit delayed, hasn't it, this second coming stuff, what's going on? He said that he's not willing that any should perish. He's left a gap so people can believe. Guess what? If Jesus, when he came the first time, was it, you and I wouldn't be here. But he's given us a time period to say, here's your opportunity to turn to me, put faith in me. And not only that, the battle against good and evil, it's got to be shown that evil doesn't triumph. He's got to come back and sort evil out. That's what the Bible says. The last enemy to be defeated, hell and death. To conquer the devil. He's got a bit of a free rein at the moment. But the day's coming when he's going to be put in his place. You heard me say it, I think, ages ago when I talked. The Keith Green song always frightens me. Who are you going to throw in the lake of fire? Oh, Lord, our God. Better know now. Don't just be hoping. So you have to check, don't you? Your name's in the book of life. As I understand it, and please don't fall out with me here, the only way you'll get to be with Jesus is if your name is found in the book of life. And if it's not, it seems it's one or the other. You can't have heaven without hell, can you? Not a very popular teaching, but it's, I believe, what Scripture teaches. We'll all be resurrected, some to life everlasting, some to eternal damnation. Seems to be what Scripture teaches. So your name's got to be found in the book of life, because there'll be a roll call. Kelly, GFM, here, sir. Thank goodness. To command the world. We sing it in our songs. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. There's no one greater than him. No other name under heaven or earth by which men may be saved but the name of Jesus. He was given that name because an angel turned up and said to his mother, this is what you're going to call him. Called Gabriel. Luke chapter 1 or round about there. Derived from the name Joshua. He shall save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. Messiah means anointed one. He's the anointed one. Because of Adam and Eve messing up, there became a gap between us and God. We're identified with Adam in the fall. When we put our life in Christ's hands, we're identified with Christ. Paul calls him the last Adam. First Adam made a mess. The last Adam has made amends. Jesus. To condemn the ungodly. The books are going to be opened. Jesus is going to say, who are you? I never knew you. What a thing. It's why, in a sense, his last command to the disciples, Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples. Baptize them. We've got a baptism coming up soon, haven't we? I was saying to Mark when I was at Nottingham, part of the team there, we used to baptize people. We used to use the old confession and ask people, do you renounce the devil and all his works? Upon the confession of your faith, we baptize you in the name of the Lord. Wow, what a thing. Last slide, slide 11. Who is involved? Well, Jesus, obviously Jesus is coming, probably sent by God the Father, so you could say he's involved in it. The saints who have died. What a day that will be. Hello, Abraham. How are you doing? Give us a bit of information. How did this go on, lying about your wife? Come on, tell me a bit more about it. Isaac. My mate, Joseph. What a thing. Come on, Paul. Oh, look, what was this thorn in the flesh? I've always wanted to know. The saints are going to be resurrected. We'll get our chance to ask the questions, won't we? Bible says, I think it says anyway, we'll be recognised. There'll be a recognition about our glorious bodies. Jesus was recognised. Sometimes he wasn't. That's the glorious bit. He's on the road to Emmaus. Oh, are you the only one that hasn't heard what's happened in Jerusalem? Then all of a sudden, they know who he is. What a thing that is. Believers still alive. Most of us, I guess, are in that camp. We want the Lord to come while we're still here. Maybe it will happen. I don't know. But those who are still alive when he comes will be caught up to be with him in the air. Angels, his heavenly hosts are coming with him. And here's the last one, time's gone. Unbelievers will actually see it. That comforts me. Because it says, no matter what you lot said, it's happening. I've said before, and I'll finish with this maybe. People say, you can't believe all that stuff, can you really? And I often say, well, what if I got it wrong? I won't know the difference, will I? So it won't make any odds. If it's just ashes to ashes, there's no more, what will I know? I'm dead. But guess what? What will you know if I've got it right? It is. I'm on shaky ground here. I think I've got it right. He's coming back. Thank you for listening.